Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
The Brian Bulaga scheduled to appear coming up at 9:30 this morning edition. No Homer today. He had to move his schedule around this week. But we have replaced him with someone Tausch has been looking to talk to all week long since he heard the State of the Packers show on Saturday afternoon at Summerfest. Gabe Neitzel scheduled to appear in the 11 o'clock hour edition of Wilde and Tausch. 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, the ESPN Wisconsin app. Subscribe for all your favorite full show podcasts right there. Also on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And, of course, live video streaming, Twitter, Facebook, and a couple of YouTube channels, ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Madison. Subscribe to those as well. See all of the best content from our ESPN Wisconsin shows. No Jason Wilde again today. Guy takes a lot of days off, man.
Be back. He does.
He'll be back tomorrow with us at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin in Brookfield. Can't wait to be there tomorrow, all of us on hand, and along with all of our other ESPN Wisconsin shows as well. From 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 101.7 The Truth, 620 WTMJ. Going to be a big day at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Brookfield Experience Center tomorrow. My name is Jesse Nelson. I am normally the producer of this show. Once again, with Jason gone, I slide over to the host chair. Hunter Vaughn returns for a third consecutive day as our cousin sub of the day, producing the show behind the glass in the Everlight Solar Studio at ESPN Madison. And from his undisclosed location, he is the Green Bay Packers Hall of Famer. And I think he bought into the hype of last night's game, The Miz versus Clayton Kershaw. At least more than the Skeens game a couple of weeks ago. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. Did you watch last night?
I did watch. I saw the beginning and missed a little bit, and then I saw, but I saw the, he's the real deal. Gives up the homer right to start the game against Shohei and bounced back, and I thought embrace the moment. So for, you know, I gave you a lot of grief, was it a two weeks ago?
2 weeks ago today was the Skeens game, yeah.
Skeens game. This is a lot different. Like, both guys pitched, and obviously Kershaw is not Skeens at this point in his career, but he's a Hall of Famer. And the Brewers won both games, so it's not as if I'm just being a homer. This was much more intense. Now, again, I missed a lot of that Skeens game as I tried to watch it on tape delay. But Mizrowski is, there's just something different and special. And it's not just that he throws 102. That obviously helps. But there's an excitement with him that I don't remember another Milwaukee Brewers pitcher having. And I've been a Brewers fan for a long time. Teddy Higuera, Juan Nieves, Ben Sheets, Yovani Gallardo. There have been a lot of really good pitchers that have come through. I think the only guy I could think of where I was as excited to watch was when they brought in CC Sabathia. Outside of that, I don't recall another time as a Brewers fan that you had must-see TV with a pitcher. And correct me if I'm wrong. You're a much more avid Brewer fan than I am on a daily basis. I enjoy it. I want them to win. I would argue, I think that, you know, I know we're a Packers show, but I would think a Brewers championship would mean more to this state than another Packers world championship, just because we've never done it. And when I look at all of this, I can't remember a time where it was, Mrs. Pitching, we got to dial in. Fans are showing up in droves. There is an excitement about him because sans the last game against the Mets, he has delivered every time he's been out, and it just looks like he's getting more and more confident. And that's why I think Brewers fans should be incredibly excited, and I think why Jeff Passan, when he joined us on Monday, is kind of saying, guys, this isn't going to be like this all the time. You're not going to have this staff, this club, take a big swing. And I understand why he said that, and I think I understand why Brewers fans feel that that's the way this team should go.
A lot to dive into from that opening statement, and a good one at that. 844-770-3776 is the Carbless ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text Line. Your way into the show, 844-770-3776.
Matter of fact, Jesse,
yeah.
Tell me who has been more hyped as a professional athlete, not college, as a professional athlete in the state of Wisconsin since 2000. Is there anybody?
Okay.
Because I don't want to be a pom. I don't want a prisoner a moment this thing. But I'm trying to think. Because Aaron Rodgers, not as a rookie.
No, When Aaron Rodgers took over for Brett Favre that Monday night game against the Vikings, you had to be ready to go to know
what that
was going to look like.
I'm asking as a debut, as a rookie.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
Aaron Rodgers won a rookie.
I guess true. Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers taking over a few years into their careers. You're right. Different than taking over as a rookie. I understand. So as you're saying specifically, your rookie season, not your first year as a starter, not you waited for a couple of years on the bench and now it's your turn to take over. Like Giannis wouldn't be like that. Rodgers wouldn't be like that. Jordan Love wouldn't be like that. You're saying straight rookie seasons. I want to clarify that, right?
I just want to think back, and I'll even go back further because I'm starting to think since 2000, who's been a rookie? Giannis? Nobody. Everybody was, oh, okay, there's this gangly guy from Greece. I don't know how good he's going to be, and he didn't really emerge. He had to grow into what he is now.
It took 3 or 4 years for casual fans to know how to say his name. And that's us.
Glenn Big Dog Robinson back in the 90s. I mean, I was excited when he debuted as a rookie. But I'm not trying to prisoner a moment this. I'm literally just asking because I want to know. And then I start thinking about just must-see Wisconsin athletes. And pitching is easier because it's not every night. If this was Mike Trout, I don't know if I'd be every game. So it's probably unique, but in the fact of Milwaukee Brewers pitching and the excitement, he's probably the most heralded that we've had. I don't want to say this because it sounds crazy. Been around 48 years. This is probably the most excited you've been for a pitching debut that has turned into this in 48 years. I can't go back to Bob Feller. I can't even remember the old Milwaukee Braves days. But I can't recall that because I wasn't around. But what has been a bigger whoa than what we've seen the last 5 or 6 weeks?
So that's the question for you to weigh in on. 844-770-3776, the Carbless ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text Line. You can also share it in the YouTube comments, seeing a few there. We'll get to those in just a moment. I want to talk about what you said about CC Sabathia because I totally agree. I felt this 2 weeks ago with the Skeens game, but now it even more so. And I think part of why I feel that way is not only that he's lived up to the hype, not only that he's been dominant in the ways that The Miz has, but each start has progressively added, it feels like, more or at least similar stakes to what he's going into. Obviously, the debut against the Cardinals and the 5 no-hit innings, following that up in Minnesota with a perfect game through 6 into the 7th inning. You had the start against Skeens at home against the Pirates in the pitching matchup there. Then playing against the Mets, the best team, one of the best teams in the National League, even though they were struggling when the Brewers caught them. And now playing the Dodgers and going up against Kershaw, his next start, if they keep him on where we think they will, if they don't give him a full 14-day break out of the All-Star break, it will probably be against the Dodgers again at Dodger Stadium. Like, it just keeps building every time that he's out on the mound, and every time outside of the Mets game, he's lived up to it. It's now to the point, and this is where I feel it's the same way as CC Sabathia. I was a kid when Ben Sheets was pitching. I knew he was good. There have been a bunch of other good pitchers that have come through, like Zach Greinke when the Brewers traded for him in 2011. Like, he was great. He's severely underrated, I think, in Brewers history. But it wasn't circle the day that guy's pitching. The minute he comes off the mound last night, I'm looking at when is the next time he's pitching. We don't know yet because of the All-Star break, but after the Mets game last week, when's the next time he's out there? After the Skeens game, when's the next time he's out there? It becomes appointment viewing or listening on the radio network or going to the game as he sold out the stadium the last couple of games that he's pitched. Like, it has now caught that kind of mania, that frenzy for Brewers fans. It's only comparable to when CC Sabathia came here in 2008. You circled, when is CC Sabathia pitching next? I got to get to the stadium. I got to make sure I'm watching at home. I got to make sure if I have plans, I'm turning on the Brewers radio network and listening to it. That is the same level this is at now with The Miz. And I don't remember it ever being like that for an individual player outside of CC Sabathia.
Is there any athlete that right now, let's say there's a signing, a card shop signing, and you could pick Jesse Nelson is your dad. You guys are sports collectible cats. You can go down and Jordan Love, Miz. I'm not going to put Giannis in any conversation.
Yeah, Giannis is like disqualified.
Golden, and you put Golden. Who's going to have the longest line at that card shop?
You're putting Jordan Love at the table. Like, Jordan Love's going to have the longest. He's still the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, and he's still good enough to be a franchise quarterback. Like,
I agree, but I don't think it's the route that we think it is. The Packers will always rule the roost in this state. Always. And it is rare that I would even broach this conversation. But I think Miz Mania might be hotter, especially as we sit here on June 9th. Now, if you talk to me in September, and if the Brewers are still in it, and Miz is rolling, then it's really something. But as we sit here right now, I mean, everything is kind of on a little hiatus. Jordan Love has been around now. He's going into, what, year 6, 7, whatever it is, year 7. This could be, I don't want to be all hype, hype, hype. But this cat is living up to it, and I think the big draw, obviously, is he throws gas on gas. But last night he was doing it with his curveball outside of the pitch to Shohei. And you just hope to continue. I love the quote, and I think it was McAlvey put it out there from Pat Murphy, your guy, about just getting started with mucus still on. Basically, he doesn't even know what he's doing yet, and he's doing this. That's why I think we should all be excited. He has a chance to be one of the faces of baseball. That's where Miz is at right now, and I don't think I'm being hyperbolic by saying that.
Do you believe, before we get to some of the responses from fans coming up next, before we get to Brian Bulaga coming up at 9:30 talking Packers, do you believe stock for the Miz will ever be higher than it is today? coming off of all of these legendary opening, these first five games that he's pitched, whatever it's been. Great game on great game. The one trip up against the Mets follows it up with 12 strikeouts against the best lineup in baseball last night. One run on the Shohei Ohtani leadoff home run. Other than that, dominant on the and on a national stage. I watched it on national TV last night. Like, it was a massive game, and he stepped up and then some. Do you think his stock as a Major League Baseball player after these first five games and how much hype there is around him right now, do you think his stock will ever be higher than it is today?
Certainly. Why wouldn't it? If he goes out and does it again out in L.A., why would it not be higher than it is today?
Well, the question is, do you have the confidence that he'll do it out in L.A.? I do. But I do think, like, at some point he's going to pitch against the Cincinnati Reds and he's going to go, you know, five and give up two runs, and it's going to be an average start. And we're going to, you know, the stock will come down. The hype will come down at some point, you would think.
Jesse, stocks are one thing. You look for strong fundamentals that are going to continue to grow. They don't need to be rocket ships. You're just looking for strong fundamentals that are going to continue to get better and better. And you want where mundaneness is still really great. That's what you're talking about. I don't know if that's going to be Miz. It's too early to tell. There's venture capital. There's startups. He is definitely he is getting past the startup phase. Has he shown that month over month his earnings are going to continue to grow and grow? It's a very small sample size. I think the biggest risk that we have when you're asking about is this the highest, is injury, because he's a long-levered, explosive, and stuff happens in Major League Baseball, especially with arms. We know that. But as we sit here today, you can't help but just be incredibly bullish on everything this kid's doing. And this trickles into the rest of your team. This trickles into the Peraltas, your bullpen, everybody, because that excitement builds and all of a sudden everybody now is believing and jumping on. And that's a powerful thing. That's the quarterback effect that I always talk about, where you start getting the entire clubhouse and locker room to believe. Because when you have a guy that can do what he did last night against the big boy in the entire Major League Baseball, against a Hall of Fame pitcher, then all of a sudden you're like, well, if we can do that, why, we can do anything. And that's pretty dang cool.
844-770-3776, the Carbless ESPN Wisconsin talk and text line. Is the Miz the Wisconsin athlete with the most rookie hype of all time? Your response is already rolling
you
in.
You can get an autograph right now from any Wisconsin sports personality, Wisconsin athlete.
Besides Giannis.
Giannis, I would always vote Giannis because he's just special.
He's exclude lovable. Him. Yeah.
Is there a Green Bay Packer that you'd rather have an autograph of right now than the Miz? It's the Miz, or you get to pick any Packer. That's your choice. Who are you taking?
844-770-3776. I'm going to put that poll in the field from the Wildy and Tausch Twitter feed. We'll see how that plays on the Wildy and Tausch Twitter feed. We've got Miz.
I still think Jordan Love will win. I do. But I think for the first time in forever, it's going to be closer than we think. When is the last time there's been a Brewer that you could even equate to with a starting quarterback for the Green Bay
Well,
Packers?
I think we're going to see a couple of those names on some of the responses that are rolling in, which we'll review next. Everybody's got Miz Mania right now. Tomorrow will be a Pelapalooza at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin at the Brookfield location. We will be there.
Excited. And you stop in tomorrow, July 10th. You can go from 7 a.m. all the way to 6 p.m. That is a long day down at the Pella Experience Center, but it's going to be awesome. You can see hosts from WTMJ, ESPN, and The Truth all live in the Pella showroom. Schedule your in-home consultation for a chance to win amazing prizes. Brewers tickets. Oh, those keep getting better and better. Giveaways from the season. A game-worn jersey. Badgers College Game Day tailgate opportunities. State Fair. Green Bay tickets, and much, much more. There are going to be winners chosen every 2 hours, so don't miss your chance. to win $2,000 off your minimum purchase of $5,000 when you hold your appointment before July 31st. So if you don't have time to stop in, we get it. You can also schedule an appointment by calling Pella, or you can go to PellaWI.com on July 10th, and you will still be entered to win in those great raffle prizes. So tomorrow's a big day. Pop in, go on PellaWI.com. The earlier you enter, the more chances you're going to have to win throughout the day. So go ahead, jump on. It's going to be a fun day down in Brookfield with all of the GKB talent down there and all of those great prizes and that great deal that Pella always has going.
More about The Miz coming up next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Tausch, Jesse and Tausch again today. Jason will be back tomorrow when we're at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin in Brookfield. He hedged again, by the way, today in his countdown of the top 20 most important Packers of 2025. We'll tell you who he hedged on when Brian Bulaga joins us coming up next. But we are...
Jesse, if you're down, let's say tomorrow at the Pella Experience Center in Brookfield, I think you're coming, right?
I am coming. I heard there's free food, yeah.
Okay, so there's food and there's raffle prizes and... I don't think there's a meat raffle, but there's a bunch of cool raffle items. And Miz and Jordan Love both come in. Whose autograph you get? You only get one.
So the poll is in the field from the Wilde and Tausch Twitter feed. If given the opportunity to get one autograph right now, are you picking Brewers phenom Jacob Mizorowski or any current Packers player, not just Jordan Love?
I'm going Jordan Love because I don't know. I think if you're getting an autograph from a Packer, you're going to go Jordan Love. I think that's what most people are going to do.
And I don't look. You're putting me in a spot here now where I'm going to sound like a Debbie Downer, I think, a little bit, and I don't want to do that because I am living Miz Mania as much as anybody. There's no guarantee here of only a handful of starts in that Jacob Mizorowski is going to sustain this level of play forever or that he's going to even be a Milwaukee Brewers player forever, especially given their track record of great players tend to do leaving the organization.
That's 7 years down the road. Let's say he's got control for 7 years. Let's not – come on.
But the fact that Jordan Love already has established what he has established as the Packers' starting quarterback, he has signed a long-term contract, he is expected to continue a rising level of play for a long time, succeeding Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre in the line of great Packers quarterbacks, I think you have to pick Jordan Love as the autograph or the guy that you want to go get. Yes, Hunter.
So there's another way you could look at it, though, Jesse, and that being the Miz with this hype right now, even if it falls off, you get his autograph, that's a fun niche autograph. I'm going to be able to find Jordan Love stuff. He's going to sign enough stuff. Like, that's not an issue. But you get a Miz autograph, and then you're telling your buddies when you're a bunch of guys being dudes just naming random players. You're like, yeah, I got a Miz autograph. Like, that's fun. So that's a good story with it.
You'd rather have a Jeremy Lin autograph than a Giannis autograph?
There's so many things Giannis is autographed. Jeremy Lin, that's a funny story. Like, there's something fun behind that.
Dumb.
No.
I would much rather have a Giannis autograph. I'm not an autograph guy, but I'd much rather have a Giannis autograph. I'd much rather have a Jordan Love or a Aaron Rodgers. I have a Brett Favre.
All easy autographs to get.
They're not. Not when you're getting them in person. Does that answer your question, Tausch?
No. No, it doesn't.
Early in the voting, Jeremy Lin somehow has worked his way into the conversation. Early in the polling, and again, we're only a handful of votes in. This just went up on the Wilde and Tausch Twitter feed. The Miz is leading 75-25 over any current Packers player. That includes Jordan Love. 844-770-3776. We also asked, who are the rookies? I know Jen, Gabe, and Chewy dove deep into this morning as well on ESPN Milwaukee. Who are the rookies who have lived up to the same type of hype that The Miz has here early on in his career? On YouTube, some of the comments there, Eddie Lacy, Clay Matthews... Andrew Bogut as a number one overall pick for the Milwaukee Bucks.
No.
Not the same.
I agree with Clay.
Clay
he
was
changed the way we played.
Right away, Clay had an impact, right? He didn't wait a year or anything. Like, it was right away helping get to that next level of play.
Eddie Lacy was a fantastic rookie too. Yes, no doubt.
Prince Fielder, someone chimes in with. Prince Fielder, when he came up. Ryan Braun, I would also add in.
Yeah.
The way that he debuted in San Diego and then continued it throughout that season. Like, that was – Ryan Braun was, like, the last one that came up in that big crop of young
– that was such a
prospects.
Fun summer.
Yeah. Corey Hart, Prince Fielder, Ricky Weeks, J.J. Hardy. Braun was kind of the culminating guy, and he was the perceived
you guys understand
to be the best
that, of us. You guys understand that this team – in this summer, have an opportunity to be more fun and better than that summer Hunter's talking about. Do we all understand that?
Yeah, absolutely. I was just reminiscing, like, I was in high school that was just a fun time.
The good old days.
Yeah.
I think, and I saw a little bit of this last night in following along and checking Twitter occasionally. I get the sense that Brewers fans are excited, but almost already inevitability of, yeah, but what's going to happen in October? And I get it. I'm not going to sit here and tell you how to fan because that's just not – I mean, I will, but this is a fun team. And you don't know. The swoon could hit us anytime. We could lose guys. There's going to be some turnover. There's always big turnover when you're a small market team. Not every young player is going to hit. You're not going to have the same pitch. All of those things can be true. But this is a really fun team, and when you get to the playoffs, I think one of the things that is always pretty evident, power arms do really well. It's the teams that have that power, the power arms and the power bullpen with the big velocity, that typically plays well in the postseason. We'll see if and when the Brewers get there, how that all shakes itself out. But I don't want this to be all – Jess, you already started a little bit with your doomsday blanket negativity. I ain't here for your blanket negativity.
You set me up to say that because you made me compare it to getting George Love's autograph. I'm not
setting you up to say anything. Speak your mind.
I am all for the hype around Miz Mania right now in Milwaukee. I love what's happening with the Miz. Every time, appointment viewing, listening, watching – every single time he pitches. I am all in on this. The only way that I was all in on anything before this was CC Sabathia as a regular season draw of any kind. Like, obviously, playoff games for any team are different. Packers games, I think, because they're once a week and because every game has mattered for 30 years, is a different scope. But talking in this realm, there has been one other thing like this as a Brewers fan in my lifetime. And it was when CC Sabathia came here in the summer of 2008, and we never thought there'd be anything like that again. And we've got it right now. We're living it. It's so fun that this guy can throw 12 strikeouts against the Dodgers. This loaded lineup gives up a leadoff home run to Shohei Ohtani, and then puts up career-high 12 Ks. Like, shuts them down. And he's emotion is showing as he's leaving the mound. He's fired up when he gets a big out to end it. Like, I love this guy. As much as I love CC Sabathia in 2000, like, this has been an amazing month of Brewers baseball. I have loved every second of it. But if you're making me pick an autograph, I'm going to pick Jordan Love's autograph. That's all I'm saying because I don't know what the future holds for the Miz yet.
Okay. That's fine.
He does have to get better when he throws back to back of the same pitch. He struggled with that last night.
And also the walks can be a little bit, although one walk, 12 strikeouts, that looks pretty good control to me.
Yeah.
Brian Bulaga is coming up next. We're going to switch to Packers conversation. Jason's listed the top 20 Packers, even though he has four guys over the last two spots that he's listed in his articles. We'll tell you who is on the number 12 line today. Get into some tackle talk. Brian Bulaga is scheduled to appear coming up next. Tausch, those who were at American Family Field watching the Miz last night, I'm sure enjoyed an ice-cold Coors Light and sat back and watched a monumental performance.
A big game, and whether you're tailgating, pregame, enjoying your experience during the game, watching the Miz strike out 12, celebrating that big win after the game, and you just need a moment to chill. Crack open a Rocky Mountain Cold Coors Light. It's brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it is cold packaged, so it is made to chill and make sure those mountains are baby blue. That's when you know it is chilled to perfection. That's why it is always Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company at Golden, Colorado.
Over to the Packers with Brian Bulaga, scheduled to appear next on Wilde and Tausch.
Wilde and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
Famous friends you probably never heard of, but back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in, but when I go back home, I've got some famous friends. Yeah, I do.
I'm checking the Carbless ESPN Wisconsin talking text line, the YouTube comments. Nobody has said Brian Bulaga's rookie performance matches that of The Miz or some of the most hyped in Wisconsin sports history. Feels like a miss maybe by some of our fans. Brian Bulaga joins us now. It's Wednesday at 9:30 here on Wilde and Tausch. Blue, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're good. We're talking rookies. Jacob Mizorowski stepping up with the Milwaukee Brewers in a legendary rookie performance. Who's the best rookie you played with in your Packers career?
Ooh, best rookie that I played with. I'm trying to think back. Best rookie. That's the thing about Green Bay. Like, rookie, I mean, if guys don't make enormous impacts all the time as rookie. Like, you have to – that's why people's expectations for rookies in Green Bay always kind of have to be a little bit, like, tempered, you know, because, like, they always don't play that huge of a role. I would say for me in my time, obviously Dave played a big role in his first year. I wouldn't say Dave played amazing, though, in his time as a rookie. I mean, I think even Dave would say that. I think Dave from year one to year two, significant progress. But from a rookie, I think Elton played phenomenal as a rookie. If you look the way Elton played his rookie year at left guard, he played great. I'm trying to think of guys on the defensive side of the ball. I think Jair had a really good rookie year.
Eddie Lacy came up. One of our fans texted in. Eddie Lacy was one of the options at the 2014 season. Was really solid for him, right?
Yeah. Eddie played really good. His rookie season. Eddie had a really nice year. That was a standout year for him. Corey Linsley that same year in 2014 was a stud in the second half of the season when he finally came back from injury and he started to start. Because Treader got hurt, and then Corey came off the PUP list essentially the same time Treader got hurt, and they almost, like, swapped, and Corey played great. There's a lot of guys you could talk about who's the best out of those. Hard to decipher. People are going to say Lacy because he scored the touchdowns, which is true. Eddie scored touchdowns, and he was a beast. But there's a lot of honorable mentions. There's a lot of guys that played good ball.
All right, Blue, so we are getting closer, and we talked last week about that 4th of July kind of being the, all right, after that, it's let's get to it. And I don't remember, did you have a conditioning test when you first got to Green Bay where you had to do the gassers? You had to do 4 gassers, and if you didn't pass, you had to keep doing it? Because that always kept me up at night after that 4th of July, making sure we get that passed. Did you have that, or did we already move towards something else?
We moved towards something else. We didn't do that. Gosh, I got there as a rookie. No, yeah, we didn't have that. It was bloke. So he changed it to something different. So I never had that.
I always loved Brian. I always loved the fact that, all right, here's the deal. Take 6 weeks off, come in, run gassers. I don't care how good a shape you're in. Hamstrings get completely tight, and then the next morning, go out and do a double day where you got an 8 o'clock practice and a 2 o'clock practice for 2.5 hours, and then, I wonder why there's some soft tissue injuries. I never understood that concept, and I'm glad to see that every team in the NFL, including the Packers, have gotten a lot wiser about that. All right, Brian, what is your top thing you're looking at, looking for, or are really intrigued to find out as we're getting towards training camp day approaching?
About the team or about the...
Yep, about the team. About Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, yeah. Like, or about the weather, about the... I don't know.
Yeah, there's I don't think we want to get into cloud seed. I don't think we want to get into weather and all. I don't think Unless you want to go there, Brian, go for it.
I don't want to get into cloud seeding because I think we could go down that rabbit hole, and it's not a good rabbit hole.
How about
to go down,
dinosaurs
right?
coming back? We had a little discussion yesterday. The woolly mammoth is coming back. I think there's a chance, a small chance, that dinosaurs might be coming back. I don't think you want to go there either. So
I was initially
saying Packers storyline, but it's your segment. You go where you want to go.
Well, they bring back the dire wolf, so like, you know, they could bring back the
Willie. A lot
mammoth.
Of stuff coming
so,
back.
Like, yeah, I mean,
That's all I'm saying.
So they technically could do that if they really wanted to. From a Packers standpoint, what I'm looking forward to, I mean, there's a lot of good storylines, and I'm going to keep it in my lane, which I think is appropriate for me. It's the left tackle spot. I really think that we didn't really find out much about who they're leaning to from a, like, who came out of this OTA process as the said favorite or who they're leaning towards, you know, out of the springs, which was predictable, right? Because, like, the spring is what we called it in college, the season for a reason. That's kind of what spring ball is now, especially with what they're doing and how there's it's just jog through, essentially, is what they're doing now, if you can even call it a jog through. It doesn't even seem like it's that tempo. So it's hard to gauge on who is taking a step forward in the competition that is spring ball or OTAs or minicamp, whatever that is. So I think my attention is going to be on the left tackle job. And if you look at the offensive line, that is the position or is the only position that there is a competition. Because if you look at this thing as a whole, left guard's done. If Elton gets his situation figured out, the center position is done.
I was told that
right
Zach
guard.
Tom's position is up for grabs, even though now they're negotiating a new deal. That whole thing is.
Yeah, that was me. You and I kind of called that from the from the jump. That is the biggest. That so could be the biggest joke that we heard.
Brian, do you think that the right guard spot is pretty solidified? That there's not going to be, you know, it's going to be Sean Ryan and. So it is really just going to be Morgan versus over there at versus Walker over at left tackle.
I think so, and I'm not saying that Sean Ryan in some way, shape, or form won't be pushed by somebody. I mean, I would imagine that you know the second round pick will probably get or will get some snaps there at guard if he does get. You know, unless they just keep him exclusively at tackle.
He hasn't even been signed yet. I don't think. Is Belton signed?
He's not signed yet?
Jesse, has Belton signed with. I don't think he's signed.
I guess
there's some stuff with second round picks, Brian, that they're trying to get fully guaranteed deals. And I think a lot of second round picks throughout the NFL have not signed yet. And I think Belton's one of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sports Illustrated saying he's not.
There you go.
Oh, baby. Well, that's an interesting change of events. Is Golden signed?
Yes, he is. Yes.
Wait a second. The first round pick signed, but the second round pick's not signed.
Yeah, what's the deal with the second round picks, Taj? Because you've said this before.
So here's what I understand, and again, take it for what it's worth. The first round picks are all getting fully guaranteed contracts. Now, the Cincinnati Bengals are trying to put language with their first-round pick to basically say if you get in trouble and get suspended, we can recoup some of your guaranteed money. And they're saying, no. Cincinnati's just doing what Cincinnati does. The second-round picks in the past had gotten a certain amount guaranteed. More second-round picks are pushing for fully guaranteed four-year contracts. And I think a lot of the league, not that there's any collusion within the NFL. We know that's not the case. There's a little pushback to say, no, we're not going to do that. And I think that's why there is a pretty substantial amount of second-round picks that have not signed. I think that's what's going on with Belton, but I'm sure Jason, when he comes back tomorrow, can fill us in more on that.
Good for the second round picks. Hold strong.
Yeah, get your money.
In my opinion,
get your money.
Yeah, hold strong.
Yep.
Hold strong for the second round picks. But that's it. But that's interesting. But I think Sean Ryan and with and this is and I mean I don't know anything about the guys. I mean obviously Jordan Morgan competed with Sean Ryan a little bit for that guard spot last year and he got hurt and things like that. But and this is with due respect to the guys that are. You know, behind Sean Ryan, I don't think there's a better option at the right guard spot. I just don't. I think Sean Ryan's pretty battle tested, and I think he's competed for that job over the last 3 years, and I think he's shown that he's earned that spot, and I think he's played well enough at that position to kind of make that his own. Now, listen, I get every year's new and you go into camp and you win a job and you have to perform well enough. And if you go into camp and you don't play well, then yeah, I mean, everyone's up for risk of losing their position. I don't see that happening to Sean Ryan. I think he seems like a pretty prideful individual and he's kind of that, that brawler type mentality that he's not going to allow that to happen. So, yeah, I kind of see this being like a one-position battle. I really do. And that's why, when we were talking about this early on in OTAs, when Steno and LaFleur, they were opening this up to like a three- or four-person, battle in the offensive line of positions. It's like that's just not possible. You don't have the depth to turn this into a – every position is open for competition. That's just not possible in today's NFL. So it's going to be, the left tackle job. And obviously if Sheed wins this thing out, right, if it's as quick as last year too, which I don't think that's going to be the case this time around, right? Like, and this is
what
just
was that?
Me.
That was like 2 days. That's still, Brian, yeah. What do you think happened last year with that? Because that was the, to me, that was the goofiest part of the whole deal. We're sitting there, we're up at Dream Drive. Oh, there's a little thing. And then all of a sudden, a day later, Sheed's our left tackle. I don't even know if they had pads on. And Jordan Morgan's going to battle Ryan for right guard. And we're all looking around like, just wait a second, wasn't he? And he came out, he's like, I want to be a left tackle. I was drafted to be a left tackle. And I don't even know if he ever took a rep at left tackle in a team setting last year.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it happened before.
We know.
Yeah, it's like it's like it happened, like you said, before they even put pads on. Like, that's how fast it was. And it was like, what? It's like, wait a second. Like, I don't understand how you make that decision before, like, a week of camp even goes by. Like, I mean, so there's two things that come to mind. Like, and you know this. There's two things that come to mind that Sheed was that good, right? Sheed was that good in camp at that point in time. Or Jordan Morgan really performed that bad. And those are the only two things that jump out to the page of me. Because I know you're going in camp, right? And there's a competition in camp. And it's clear as day one guy is just that much better than the other guy. And the battle is done. It's just that clear, especially in offensive line play. There's no real, like, okay, they're that close. This thing continues on. No, it's like, this guy's way better than the other guy. This thing's done. It's over. Let's just call this thing now, and let's see if he can compete somewhere else. Like, that had to be what it was. I don't think that's going to be the case this year because, like you've said in the past, and I agree with you completely, they're going to give Jordan Morgan way more opportunity to push this thing down the road in camp to continue to push Sheed. Like, I think they're going to give him more opportunity to win this job in camp. And listen, I hope for Jordan Morgan's sake that he's ready to compete for this job, right? Like, I mean, this is an opportunity. Like, you don't get tons of opportunities in the NFL, right? Like, I mean, you just don't. I get he was a first-round pick. That's an opportunity in its own. He got the opportunity last year. I get he got hurt. He's getting another one this year to compete for it again. If it doesn't work out this year and I get Sheed, probably, I mean, I never want to say never, but Green Bay won't pay him left tackle money to stay. Gets the opportunity next year to be the starting left tackle. There's another opportunity. What do you make of that? There's like three golden opportunities right there. It's what do you make of that, right? Once those three go by – you don't continue to get gifted opportunities in the NFL, right? You got to start making the most out of those. So I hope for his sake that he makes the most out of these and he performs well, because it's only good for the team that he does. And I still today, I don't know anything about Jordan Morgan as a player. So I'm excited to see who he is as a player, as a left tackle, right? Like, you can only go based off what you've seen in very, very, very limited quantity of like preseason film, where he's like barely in it, right? Like there isn't much. It's very limited. And I'm not there during training camp, where you see some drills and things like that. And that's also very limited. So like, I want to see reps. Like I really do. I want to see some reps and how he does and against, you know, actual ones from other teams and see how he competes and how he plays.
I am going to be fascinated if there is going to be a platoon, because I think the worst case scenario, and this sounds terrible, but Rasheed Walker played good football last year. There's obviously the Packers are hoping for more, but Jordan Morgan not having a spot this year and sitting a second year is not going to bode well. It's going to be a bad look for Goody, and I don't think the Green Bay Packers want any part of that. I would think at the worst, this is the battle I think Sheed is up against. There is going to be a lot of internal pressure for Jordan Morgan to play. Now, if it's not close, there's nothing you can't BS a locker room. Everybody watches that film. Yeah. And if Jordan Morgan ain't getting it done and Sheed is, you better not platoon. But I'll be shocked if, at worst, there's not going to be some type of a platoon, even if it's 2 out of 3, or what we saw with Jordan playing guard when his shoulder was good last year. I just don't think there's going to be – I don't see any road going into this season that if Jordan Morgan is healthy, he is not getting reps. I don't see a road where they just have him on the bench for an entire season. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, but I think I've made my stance pretty clear on platooning. I think it's bad. I hate it. I think it's counterproductive to the group, and I think it's counterproductive to the offense. I don't think it's good for anybody. Like I don't like how it doesn't help with continuity. I think it doesn't really help with the camaraderie of the group. I like going with the five, and I like the five sticking together through it as much as humanly possible. I get things happen throughout a season. There's injuries that, you know, I get that. Like, and if someone's not performing the way they should, then yes, you have to make a change, and I'm all for that change. But if you're just going to platoon, that does absolutely nothing for the group, because now you're removing someone out of that group that's performing just fine, just to remove them to put someone in to put him in. And that's not good for the group, because now you're putting him in next to a guy, you know, the new signing, that's also trying to get used to playing with someone new. And now you're throwing him in next to someone else new. And now he's getting used to playing next to two new people throughout a game or throughout whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's difficult. It's difficult, and it's just I hate platooning, man. There's something to be said with going out with the same five week in, week out, every snap, and rolling with those guys. That's why it's always at the end of every season. That's why people make such a big deal about it if the same five start week in and week out. Like, it's always like such a big deal if the same five guys start and play majority of the season together, because it's so rare, and it just doesn't happen that often because of injuries and things like that. So to intentionally just platoon, I just see it sometimes has a negative side effect to it that you just don't need.
Usually we save the tackle talk portion of the conversation with Brian Bulaga for a second. We dove into it first here with Brian Bulaga joining us on Wildy and Tausch. So coming up next, we'll switch our attention to the wide receivers, where Jason Wildy's countdown of the top 20 most important Packers of 2025 continues. Also, some interesting conversation from earlier in the week I want to get Blue's thoughts on. That's coming up next with Brian Bulaga joining us on Wildy and Tausch.
Brian Bulaga on Wilde and Tausch is brought to you by Surfside. Surfside iced tea and vodka and Surfside lemonade and vodka. It's light, refreshing, and has zero bubbles. It's perfect for a day on the golf course or a day at American Family Field. Cheers to Surfside.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of, but back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in.
With Brian Bulaga on Wilde and Tausch, Jesse and Tausch today with Jason Wilde on assignment. He is back tomorrow. And in fact, Brian Bulaga is hosting with Jason Wilde this Friday on Wilde and Tausch with Tausch.
Fun.
And I step it away for a day. So that'll be fun. And in the spirit of getting Brian prepped for that, we're going to keep him for a third segment today. So just a quick one to throw at you here, Brian, before we get to the wide receivers. Dale in Reedsburg on the Carbliss ESPN Wisconsin talking text line. Let's ask Brian about his thoughts on taking his mother-in-law to the movies. So for context, Brian Bulaga, our producer today, Hunter Vaughn, shared on, what was that, Monday of this week?
Yeah, it was Monday.
Over the weekend, he and his mother-in-law, and only those two together, went to a movie, the F1 movie with Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Is that something you've ever done, or do you find that to be a unique situation, Blue?
Okay. So... considering now that my mother-in-law now lives in Florida, this could, like, you know, this is like now would be like a possibility for me now that she lives now down here in Florida. I don't want to, you know, rip Hunter for anything that he does.
It's okay. You
can. I wouldn't be doing that. No, that's not something that. That wouldn't take place.
So I feel like Tausch did a nice job dancing around it. Jason did a nice job dancing around it. But Blue's just like, no, that's weird, man. What are you doing?
I did not say that's weird. I did not say that. I just said
he didn't say weird. He did not say weird.
I did not say that.
Unique. It's unique.
I wouldn't be doing that.
I just think I'm husband of the year, having a great relationship with my mother-in-law, doing that, taking her to a movie she wanted to see. Like, I think you should get kudos. Yeah.
You should get kudos for that from your wife. There is absolutely no doubt that you should have unlimited rounds of golf this summer for that, if you play golf.
Well, College Football 26 comes out tomorrow. I'm taking the day off to play that, so I'll get a few more hours out of that game then.
There it is.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm glad we got Brian Bulaga's perspective on that. Thank you, Dale in Reedsburg, for the text on the Carbliss ESPN Wisconsin Talking text line. We will now kick off the 10 o'clock hour with Brian Bulaga reviewing Jason Wilde's top 20 countdown to the most important Packers of 2025, examining more wide receivers. Wilde and Tausch is brought to you in part by Gruber Law Offices. Thanks to David Gruber and the team at Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Proudly serving Wisconsin for over 30 years and proud partner of Wilde and Tausch. Gruber Law Offices, one call, that's all. The 10 o'clock hour, continuing with Brian Bulaga. In 2 minutes, don't go anywhere. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.